Hello and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's that show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design programme, and I'm your host, Josh Fennett. Each episode, we turn our gaze to an overlooked design story, and today we're supplementing the discussion in the main show by talking about the sometimes neglected relationship between humour and architecture, and talking to comedian and design enthusiast Tim Ross. After starting his career as a radio host on Australian government broadcaster Triple J in the 1990s, Ross has made a name for himself as an architecture commentator and champion of mid-century Australian design. He's hosted TV shows about modernist homes and touring stand-up shows about the places we occupy and the way we live in them. His new live show, Designing a Legacy, combines comedy with films featuring interviews with those who worked on and inhabited residences designed by Australian national icons such as Robin Boyd or Ken Woolley. Monocle's resident Aussie funny man, Nick Manise, sat down with Ross to find out more about his show and to ask how easy it is to find cheer in the built environment.
Can our buildings make us laugh? They're more likely to make us cry. I've spent a lot of time in people's homes, you know, interviewing people and filming with them and talking to them about how they live. And one of my favourites is this wonderful modernist house in Sydney, designed by the late, the great Sydney modernist Neville Grusman. And when he did the house originally for a nudist, a bachelor, in the late 1960s. And then he built a big mound so the nudists could live in a glass box so the neighbours didn't see him. So this sort of huge pile, like it created a sort of an artificial mountain so that he could live in a glass box and be a nudist. And then the second owners weren't nudists and they had a family, so they extended the house in the 1980s. And then she still, 20, 30 years plus almost later, was pulling out a list of grievances that she had for the builders and things that had gone wrong. So I think you've got to forgive their follies and forgive the pain of putting them together. But if you're lucky enough to walk into someone, but I think buildings are more likely to make you smile than laugh. I mean, the best buildings are the ones that make you feel at home. Or the best ones cannot make you feel at home as well. They can alienate you, but they can still make you go, wow. I mean, there's a place for all of them. But ultimately, their job is to be a place where people want to hang out. And if you hang out and you want to have a drink or you want to have your friends over, that's where the funny comes out of. And so having a place that people feel comfortable in is more important. And I think that's where your stories come from, you know, my boys who are 6 and 9 have got this game called Beyblades. You know, it's been around forever, but, you know, some people may not know of the painful idea of it. It's just a spinning top, basically, and you go, let it rip. And, of course, now they go, let it rip, and they pull down their pajama pants and they fart. And they think it's hilarious. And that's part of us hanging out in our homes and the things that our kids do, or we were, you know, we don't. Earlier tonight, we're sitting around and we play a version of, you know, the game, the celebrity head, but we do it with family members. And so you've got to guess whether your Aunt Margaret or Aunt someone other or rather, and, you know, all these silly, simple things that you do, you know, that's where the memories come from and that's where the stories come from. And of course, great stories come out of every house. You know, a well-designed house doesn't have a monopoly on great memories, but we all know, and you wouldn't be listening to this now if you didn't somehow buy into the fact that when something's designed with consideration, there's a little sprinkling of magic that makes everything just a bit better. I like how we connect architecture with people and stories and place. The story that I always share, and it's one that's universal, and no matter whether performing in America or the UK, people always understand the idea of that there was always a house or apartment block or some sort of building around the corner from their own that was more interesting than their own house, and they always had some desire to go inside. For me, they were always the modernist buildings, and a lot of people just, you know, they nod their head and go, I understand that. I always wanted to knock on the door. And so when my kids wanted to go do like Halloween, And they go, are we going around the corner, Dad? And I go, no, get in the car, kids. We're going to Castle Crag. It's a modernist suburb. There's heaps of houses. And then I'll get them to knock on the doors of all sorts of different houses so I can, oh, yes, all right, I'd love to come in and have a look at this one. Designing a Legacy was a minutiae show, as a film-based show, so that's performed in predominantly more theatres. That's very much about connecting people, telling the stories about people who live in houses. Not how they're built, but why they matter to the family and those beyond it, and why it's important to save them. Ultimately, I think what's interesting about, for me, I think, is if you connect architecture and people together and then people understand that they're homes and they make sense. But ultimately, it's really about bringing more people along for the ride and asking them to consider why it's important, why architecture can make you feel better and have a better life.
Our many and sincere thanks to Tim Ross, a comedian and architecture commentator. He was speaking to Nick Manise of this very show, who's neither. Tickets to Designing a Legacy are to go on sale later this year, so do keep your eyes peeled. And sadly, that's all we have time for on this week's show, but if you're eager for more design stories, then of course I'd implore you to listen to our full-length programme, which airs on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time and appears magically as a podcast thereafter. Meanwhile, if you're missing your local newsstand, then you should, of course, take out a subscription to Monocle magazine so you don't miss an issue. You can get our daily news bulletins, peruse our many books on everything from global politics to cosy homes, and buy our fetching collaborations, or listen to our round-the-clock radio station. That's all available at monocle.com. Today's episode was produced and edited by the ever-patient Mae Lee Evans. Thank you very much, Mae Lee. I'm Josh Fennett, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.